that have put their trust in Him. And that's the first point. And it's the best point. That God is always good. Even in times of trial. Even in times of difficulties. Even though we haven't got a clue what's going on. That God is good to His people. To such as pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now we don't feel pure in heart, I'm sure, do we? But we are pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. And we're pure in heart because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and the first 5 verses. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Justified by faith. Glorying in tribulations. That's not an easy thing to say. Paul had more tribulations than most people. But he gloried in his tribulations. You see, he saw that faith must be tried. His faith was indeed tried, very much so. The real trial of faith. And it comes in many ways. This is the way that it came to Asaph. He says this, "My feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped." So he was going. He was going. He was on the slippery slope. He said, "Here I am. I'm clinging on. And I've nearly gone. I'm slipping. I'm falling off." That was the position Asaph. Why was Asaph slipping and sliding the way he was? What was going on in the life of Asaph? Well, in the next few verses, there was one big problem. He became envious. He became envious. He envied these other people because he hadn't got what they had got. So he envied them. "I want what they've got. I want to be like these people." He was envious. But who were the people that he was envious of? You look in verse 4. "I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no pangs in their death. They're not afraid of death." I envy people like that. That are not afraid of death. They're not afraid of death. There's no problem with death for them. I envy people like that. But there can be a false hope. There can be people unafraid of death who should be afraid of death. Because they're not ready to die and meet God. They're not saved. But he was looking at these people and saying, they're not afraid of death. That's the first thing. And in verse 5, they're untroubled. They're untroubled, these people. There's me with all these problems. But these people are untroubled. The circumstances of life don't seem to bother them. In verse 6, they're proud. They're proud people. In verse 7, they're greedy people. In verse 8, they're abusive people. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression and speak violently. In verse 9, they're blasphemers. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walks through the earth. In verse 10 to 12, they're people that rail against God. Therefore, his people return here. Waters of a full cup are drained by them. Waters of a full cup are drained by them. Do you know what that means? Waters of a full cup being drained by them. If you look over the page into the next psalm, in Psalm 75 verse 8, it says this: in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed. He pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. God pours out a cup and they drink it to the dregs. There's three other places in Scripture, two in Revelation and one in the Old Testament, I can't just remember where it talks about this cup. You can look at it up for yourself. It's an interesting study. But in every case, it's judgment. It's the cup of God's judgment being poured out. God's pouring out the cup of his judgment, and they're drinking it to the last dregs. So all this apparent ease and prosperity, it's all judgment of God. And they're drinking it. And they're taking it in. Doesn't that remind you of the world today? They're drinking in the judgment of God. We'll do what we want. But they're drinking in the judgment of God. And they're drinking it to the last dregs. That's what it is. It's the judgment of God against them. Now why on earth would anyone envy these people? Do you envy them? No, I don't envy them. But why on earth was the psalmist envying people like this? Why was he doing it? Where was he coming from? Why was he envying these people? Well, he'd got a wrong perspective on things. And that's the trouble. His perspective on things had all gone wrong. It was all wrong. He wasn't looking from a spiritual point of view. He was looking from a human point of view, a carnal point of view. He was seeing there's prosperity. He was seeing their good life. And there's plenty of that out there if you want to go and look. There's plenty of the good life. But it's not everything there is. The good life is in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he got a wrong perspective on things. He was envying these people that he ought to have been pitying. But you'll notice in verse 15, he's still honourable. He's still behaving like a Christian. He's still honourable. And I love this in verse 15. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. Do you know what that means? He says, I'll keep quiet about this. I won't tittle-tattle around. I won't speak my mind. I won't try and upset other people. I won't try and lessen anyone else's faith. I'll keep quiet. And that's a very good advice. When we're in this situation, when we feel like moaning to everybody on the planet, just keep quiet. When we feel like railing against God because God isn't fair, just keep quiet. You don't want to burden other people with that. And that's what he did. He said, I don't want to offend my brothers and sisters. I'll just keep quiet. And that's honourable, I think. But he still couldn't understand it. He still just could not understand the ways of God. But then the tide turns. He turns the corner, as it were, and he begins to understand. He begins to understand the reality of things. Not just how things appear on the surface, but the reality of how things actually are. And it was when he went into the sanctuary. He went into the sanctuary and then he began to understand. God seemed to have revealed things to him in the sanctuary. He understood their end. Do you understand your end? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where your end is? The best thing we can resolve in life is to know where our end is. We don't know when our end is. We need to know where our end is. Because he saw the end of these people. And he saw the peril they were in. The terrible position. He said, you have set them in slippery places. You have cast them down to destruction. They are brought to desolation as in a moment, and they are utterly consumed with terrors. That's their end. That's the end of the ungodly. That's the end of all those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Terrible end. That's a terrible end, isn't it? We don't want that end. But he saw it so clearly. Ah, he said, they look as if they're enjoying life and they've got everything their heart could wish. They've got a wonderful time. But look at their end. It's terrible. And then he says, like I was saying earlier, it's just like a dream. This is all like a dream. And then comes the repentance bit. He was sorry about everything. He's sorry about how he felt. He said his heart was grieved. He was vexed. He called himself foolish and ignorant, like a beast. He wasn't kind to himself. He judged himself. He was convicted. But then here comes the glorious hope from verse 23. And it's brilliant. Just end with this. The glorious hope. I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You know, that's brilliant. God is with you all the time. Those that have put their faith in Christ, whatever faith, whatever trial you enter through, God is with you. Simple as that. He never lets you go. And he began to see this. He says, you'll guide me. You'll guide me through my life. And then at the end of my life, he says, you'll receive me into glory. How good is that? So that's everything in perspective. Therefore, he brings out praise. In the last part, who have I in heaven but you? Who have I got apart from you? There's none upon earth I desire beside you. My flesh, my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He is my portion forever. Those who are far from you shall perish. How sad that is. Because God sent his Son that we shouldn't perish. That's why he sent his Son. He didn't send him into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. But those who are far off shall perish. You have destroyed all those that desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. So he comes out into this glorious liberty. Into this glorious light, he starts really quite depressing. And then he comes into the glorious light. And he realizes what his position is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, biggest trials we face are within ourselves. Sometimes the biggest trials we face can be by other people in the church. Do you know that? Other people in the church. Not in the world can cause us trials. But from within come the majority of our trials. God is good. Let's remember that, eh? Let's remember that God is good to Israel. God is good to us, and give him the thanks, the praise. Let's just thank him that, oh yes, our faith is tried, but we have a great and mighty God and a great and mighty Saviour that we can rely upon completely. May God bless this word to us all this morning.